Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. Thanks so much for stopping by. It is Wednesday, November the 4th. I don't know how you're making out, but my allergies are really bad today. So if I sound a little froggy, that's what's going on. But at any rate, I'm glad to be with you here on the show. We're going to look once again at the daily mass readings. These are some tough ones, but great message. Once again, it's a great message, one that we have to consider if we want to be real disciples of Christ. Jesus tells us in the gospel today what is required of us as disciples. Just one quick thing, a word about the presidential election last night. You know, I realize that no matter what side you may be on, there might be something to be unhappy about. I would just caution you about one thing, or urge you to do one thing. Keep praying for the country. No matter how you look at it, we are divided right now. There's a lot of animosity. There's a lot of hatred. You and me, we can make the difference. We could start by praying for an end to the division in the country, and also by going out and being like Jesus. I mean, this is what we are called to do. We, you and me, are called to be the ones, to be the difference. It's easy to point fingers. I fall into this all the time, but we need to remember, I need to remember, and I'm going to share this with you, Jesus is counting on us to go out and do his work. Now today, you're going to hear in the gospel what it takes to come after Jesus, and if you have not read the gospel from Daily Mass today, I'm going to warn you, it's a brutal message, but Jesus is trying to get our attention, but he needs us. I want you to remember, no matter how crazy the world seems, and I know in the next couple of days, couple of weeks, it's going to get even crazier, as if that's possible, but God's still in charge. He is allowing certain things to happen. He's omnipotent, which means he can do all things. He controls everything that happens. Please, please, please don't ever forget that. That does not mean that it is his explicit will, or ordained will, as it's sometimes called, for everything to happen. He permits things which might involve evil. He permits it mainly because of free will. But the great thing about God is that he can bring good out of anything, no matter how bad it seems. I want you to trust him. And that's the way you're going to find peace in life, by trusting him. Not by allowing yourself to become frustrated and second-guessing him and question, how could this ever happen? How could that ever happen? Why is this person allowed to speak like this or do this? You got to trust him. Pray for the change to come about so that the gospel can be lived around the world. You know, not just in name only, but literally lived by those of us who proclaim to be Christians or profess to be Christians. And also, pray for the grace to be able to trust. You do what you can, and that includes prayer, but then we have to trust, and that's hard for a lot of us. It's hard for me, and it may be hard for you too. But that's what Jesus is calling us to do, to follow him, to trust him, and really to live the gospel. And I think that's the message today, and to not panic. You know, it may feel like we're going through a storm right now. I mean, it's been feeling like that. We still got the pandemic going on. We have the election and frustrations coming out of the election. We still have the hatred, the division. Don't panic. I'm telling you, don't panic. The Lord is in charge. He knows what he's doing. All you can do is to control what you can, to do what you can, and then trust him to bring good out of even the things that you see that drive you crazy. It really does work if you give it a shot. Speaking of that, speaking of prayer, let's turn to our Father in heaven right now in prayer and ask him to help us with our needs and also to guide us for the remainder of this program. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your presence right now. Wherever we are, you are with us. We can't see you. We can't necessarily feel you. Doesn't seem like you're here sometimes, but we know through faith that you are here with us, and that you love us, and that you are all-powerful. Father, with that in mind, first of all, we thank you for your incredible power, only some of which we can understand. But we can understand enough to be amazed at your power. You can do all things, Father. Nothing is too difficult for you. Father, we know that you love us. And with that in mind, we come to you and we ask you to provide for all of our needs this day, spiritual, material. And we thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. We'll leave the details up to you, Father. But we thank you because we know you have heard and answered our prayer. Father, I ask you to bless our family, our friends, bless our country, put an end to the division, put an end to the hatred, put an end to the violence, put an end to terrorism around the world. And Father, I ask you to use me this day on the program as your instrument. Please give me the words so that I can share your message. And we pray that, I pray that we, all of our minds and hearts are opened to, so we can hear and put into action your message. We ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, well, my name is Gary Zimak. You are listening to Following the Truth. It's great to be back here with you. This is a real pleasure for me to get to spend some time with you during a crazy time in life. I spent all morning writing. I finished a big writing project today. So I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for your prayers, for all your prayers, because I really feel them. I know you pray for my work. I ask you to do that all the time, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm feeling pretty good now. Again, I know what's going on in the world. It's crazy, but I'm choosing to trust in Jesus. He really can get us through anything. But I love it when you and me come together to talk about him on the program. Now today, by the way, if you want to find out, if you're a new listener, you want to find out more about the work that I do, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. And if you haven't yet signed up for my daily email devotional, which is called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, I strongly suggest you do that. I really think it'll help you out. You do that by just going to followingthetruth.com. and providing your email address. That's followingthetruth.com. Okay, so the gospel from today's Daily Mass, and again, today is Wednesday, November the 4th. I'm going to start with the gospel, and then I'll do the first reading also. These readings are good. These readings are good. But again, this gospel, man, it is tough. It's some tough talk from Jesus, some tough love. But you know, this is the beautiful thing about having a dynamic relationship with Jesus. We don't just want him to tell us what we want to hear. There's certain messages of his that I like a lot better than others. Be not afraid, let not your heart be troubled, come to me, I'll give you rest. They're good. What he has to say today, I don't know, not as good. I'm not as pleased, but this is what he's telling us today. And one of the great things about looking at the Daily Mass readings is what we're doing essentially is letting the church lead us through the Bible and give us what we need when we need it. Because otherwise, if it's left up to me, there's nothing wrong with just reading from the Bible each day. But I have a tendency, and many people have a tendency, to have our favorite passages, which we go to frequently. It's the ones that make us feel good. But like today's message, it's one that needs to be heard. It's Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. So we're told by St. Luke that great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. Okay, so Jesus has just turned. Picture yourself following Jesus. All of a sudden, he turns, and he looks at you, and he begins to speak. And he says this, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Are you kidding me, Jesus? What in the world is going on here? You're telling me that in order to be your disciple, I've got to hate my family? Now, let's take a step back. Let's not panic. Obviously, if Jesus tells us we have to love our enemies, he certainly wants us to love the members of our family. But as he often does, he uses hyperbole, which is exaggeration, to make a point. He wants to impress upon us the fact that nobody, including our spouse, including our children, including our parents, including our friends, should come between our relationship, should get in the way, I should say, of our relationship with him. Now, most of the time, it won't. But I've given the example before that when your spouse wakes up one Sunday morning and says, why don't we just go out and have a picnic instead of going to church today? That's not a good thing. And that would be an example of someone in your family getting in the way of your relationship with Jesus. That's not good. Now, another example, for instance, would be, and it's an example of when it is good for a family member to put the family member first, but in reality, you're putting Jesus first. You have your devotions, you have your Bible reading, you do that in the morning. But your spouse or your child is not feeling well, and they need you to take care of them. You wouldn't say to them, I'm sorry, but I have my devotions that I have to do. I have to spend my quiet time with Jesus. No, you take care of your family members. You see that? That's a difference. So normally, you serve Jesus, you love Jesus by serving and loving those around you. But when somebody you know, when a person causes you to turn against Jesus, which is what happens if somebody says, well, don't go to church, or it's okay to do the wrong thing this once, then you have a problem. Then you're not being a true disciple. And this is what Jesus is warning against. Because we do it without even thinking, over and over. We put things and people, we put our own comfort ahead of him. We do it all the time. And he wants us to be real, true disciples, not just disciples in name only. It's not just a matter of going to church on the weekend. It's a matter of 24/7 being a follower of Christ. And Jesus said this, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He talks about the need to suffer. I mean, and it doesn't mean you're going to be crucified, but what it means is there is a certain level of discomfort, a certain level of persecution, a certain level of suffering, of denying the things that you want to do that goes along with being a disciple. You can't serve Jesus by serving others and at the same time serve yourself. Somebody's needs have to be met first. So you're either going to meet your needs or you are going to meet the needs of those Jesus has placed around you. When we serve others, we serve him. You can't serve yourself and serve somebody else at the same time. And Jesus goes on to say, you know, this is tough. He's not even done yet. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there's enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, this one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish. Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all of his possessions cannot be my disciple. Now, this doesn't mean you have to sell all your possessions. It just means you need to renounce them and say, Jesus, you are more important than my possessions. And how that plays out, it's going to be different. It might involve you not buying something and instead giving the money to charity. It might involve you taking a job that pays less and having to give up some of the pleasures that you've been experiencing because you make a lot of money. But it might be a job that might be better for your family, therefore allowing you to serve them and then, as a result, serving Jesus. It's going to play out differently. But what he's saying is If you're going to really be my disciple, I want you to sit down and think about the fact that it requires a sacrifice. There is a cost of discipleship. And to be honest with you, for years, I was a very lukewarm Christian. I've told you this before. And I didn't want anything to do with sacrifice. My following Jesus was more about feeling good than it was about really following him. And I think a lot of us can fall into that. Sometimes we do it without even realizing it. You want to follow Christ when it's convenient, but when it's not convenient, we want to back off a little bit. But real Christianity, which is what he's calling us to, the kind that's really going to bring you the peace that you seek and the kind that's going to get you to heaven, it's painful sometimes because it does require sacrifice. So keep that in mind when it comes to discipleship. There is a cost, and that's what he's trying to warn us of. But don't get hung up in the language, because obviously he's not telling you to hate your family members. If he wants you to love your enemies, he wants you to love your family members. But it's an attention grabber, isn't it? It's like, oh no, now I got to think about this. I got to think about possessions. I have to think about all these things that often come first. My own comfort. But he's calling us to step out of our comfort zone. But I assure you, here's the deal. It's worth it, because you're going to get that peace that you're looking for. Man, it's going to feel so good. And one day, we will be able to live with him in heaven. I need that right now. I really need that. My wife and I were talking about that earlier today. We are ready. We picture ourselves sitting on a nice porch with beautiful weather with our deceased family and friends. We're all together. None of this craziness. But in order for us to get there, we got to do what we're supposed to down here below in this life. The Lord's got work for us to do, just like Jesus had work to do. And then at the right time, he left this earth and he ascended into heaven. Same thing happened to the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. At the right time, they departed from this earth and moved on to their heavenly reward. It's the same deal for us. But just don't let up. Don't try to get your heaven here below in this life. There's going to be problems in this life. When we go too much toward doing things that feel good all the time, then we often neglect our responsibility as a disciple. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. It just means you can't have complete heaven and a paradise, paradise, that's what I'm trying to say, down here. Let's look at the first reading. It's a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Paul says this, "My beloved, obedient as you have always been, not only when I am present, but all the more now when I am absent, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." That's an important point, and that's an important message that absolutely supports the Catholic belief that Jesus redeemed us through his death on the cross. But in order for us to be saved, for us to achieve our salvation, to get to heaven, we have to cooperate with the grace given to us by Jesus. In other words, we got to work at this. We can't slack off and expect it to be automatic. But that's exactly what Paul is saying. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means it's not a done deal, but hold on, it's not that difficult. All it means is we follow Christ. We pick up that cross. We put him first and we obey him. It's really simple, not necessarily easy, but simple. Simple to understand, you know? And if we do that, we will make it to heaven. We will live in paradise. We will be reunited with our loved ones. But we can't have it both ways. You know, we have to do it his way. He's the boss. He's the leader. He's our master. He leads, we follow. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ. Paul goes on to say, "For God is the one who for his good purpose works in you both to desire and to work. Do everything without grumbling or questioning." Oh man, this is one of those things. You see, that's the trouble with the Bible, with God's word. He says things to me that I don't want to hear. I got to do everything without grumbling or complaining. Oh, are you kidding, Paul? Now I got the cross and I got to grumble. But look, this is what what the Lord is calling us to do. It is possible. I'm a big grumbler and a big complainer. At least I used to be. I'm trying to get better. I'm working on it. Because if we really believe that everything that happens to us in our life comes with the approval of God. Again, he doesn't always will it, but he allows it to happen. If we believe that, then we're going to be able to praise him for no matter what happens, whether we like it or not, for the suffering, for the crosses. So no grumbling or questioning. Paul says that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like lights in the world, as you hold on to the word of life, so that my boast for the day of Christ may be that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. We are called to be lights in the darkness. There's darkness out there. But you and me, as real Christians, authentic Christians, disciples, we're called to be that light in the darkness. We can share Jesus with others through the way we live. It means we got to watch the way we post on social media. We got to watch the way we speak. We have to watch the grumbling. We have to watch what we do, the movies we go to, TV shows we watch. You know, you got to set an example. This is what Jesus is calling us to do. He needs us. He's depending on us. What a great honor to be able to be a light representing Jesus in the world. Paul says, even if I am poured out as a libation upon the sacrificial service of your faith, I rejoice and I share with my joy with all of you. In that same way, you should also rejoice and share your joy with me. You know, this letter to the Philippians, sometimes it's known as the Epistle of Joy because he talks about rejoicing all the time. Now, this guy, St. Paul, was under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard 24/7 when he is writing about joy. And I've always found it amazing that Paul could be able to rejoice even in the midst of difficulties and suffering, even in the midst of persecution. You know why he could do it? Because he recognized the presence of Jesus. And that's what joy is all about. What joy is, it's a reaction to God's presence in our lives. And that doesn't change. See, all the externals in the world can be changing. And yeah, the world's crazy. Things happen. We run into suffering. We run into the storms of life. External circumstances go downhill sometimes. But God is constant. That's why it's so important to have him in your life, or to recognize that he's in your life and to enter into a relationship with him. Because these difficulties do arise. You're going to have suffering. You're going to have crosses. You're going to have people treat you unfairly. You're going to get bad breaks. But God is constant. His love, his power, it doesn't go anywhere. It's constant. It's hard to see sometimes. That's my job. I'm here to help you remember that. And that's what I'm trying to do today. He is in charge. He is in control. Don't panic. Trust him. Follow Jesus every day. And we heard what Jesus had to say. And this is how we follow Jesus. We pray, we try to receive the sacraments as often as we can, and we listen to him speak to us through Scripture. And Jesus told us today, here's what you need to do if you're a disciple. And you know, if we're going to be his follower, and if we expect to get that peace that he promised us, and the rest, we've got to go along with what he says. So when he tells us, you got to put me first, we can't pick and choose, right? Otherwise, we're not really following, and then all bets are off. And we might not be able to feel that peace. Put me first. That's what he's saying. He's pretty demanding when it comes to that, but it's a great deal. It really is, because he'll never desert us, and he'll lead us closer to our Father in heaven, and he's going to lead us into eternal life with him in heaven one day. But we just have to follow him. When we follow him, we're going to have to do what he says and let him be the boss. Follower, leader. Really simple stuff. Good readings today, weren't they? That's why I felt that I just needed to share them with you. And again, I want you to not panic. I want you to be peaceful. Go out and make a difference. Put a kind post on social media today. Put something positive out there. That's a simple thing. If you're on social media, if not, text somebody. Give somebody a call. Say a nice thing to somebody in your family. Maybe somebody's freaking out with the election results today. Maybe they're really upset about something, about anything. Maybe work's hard for them. Maybe they're having a hard time in school. What can you do to bring peace into their life today? That's what Jesus is calling us all to do. And there is something. If you look around, there is something each one of us can do today. So why don't you try to do that and see what happens? All right, I'm going to be heading on out of here. As always, it was a pleasure to be with you. If you have any questions, shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. That's gary@followingthetruth.com. For more information about my work, if you want to purchase any of my books or sign up for the daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, you can do that just by going to followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com. And before I go, while I have a few minutes, I want to remind you one more time. I hate talking about this, but it's something that I absolutely have to address. Donations are really down right now. It's been really, really, really quiet. If you enjoy this show, if you enjoy my daily email devotional, I would ask you to kindly consider becoming either a monthly supporter of my work or making a one-time donation. Again, I don't like to talk about it, but there are expenses that go along with this show, with the newsletter. I need your help in order to keep going forward. So I'm going to ask you if you would be able to, and I understand if you can. Times are tough out there. Believe me, I know that. But if you are able to contribute, if you are able to become a monthly sponsor, it would really help me. It would help me to continue. I do this full time. I depend on your generosity to keep this program on the air and to keep that email devotional going and to support my family. So if you're able to help out, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Just click on donate. You'll be directed to PayPal where you can make a secure donation. If you're able to become a monthly sponsor, that would help me very, very much. But if you can't, you want to make a one-time donation, that would be great too. Thank you in advance. You're amazing. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. And God willing, I plan to be back with you here tomorrow. I hope you'll be able to join me on Following the Truth. Have a fantastic day. God bless you.